Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us. Today in the show, we're going to talk a little about corn diseases. Even if you don't raise corn, though, some of these same diseases, or at least very similar, can impact a number of other crops as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit as we go throughout the show today. We're also going to get to your questions in just a minute here in the Ag PhD mailbag. If you've got a question for us, you can email us, radio@agphd.com. You can also find us on X, AgPhD Media, Darren Hefty or Brian Hefty. And if you would like to, you can certainly give us a call here. We are live in the Morton studio today, and our phone number is 844-44-AG-PHD. All right, so with corn diseases, probably the biggest thing that I would say is I'm thinking about planting right now. On our farm, we're using Xyway in furrow, really like that. There are certainly some other options out there too, like Tapera Plus, for example. You've got fungicide together with the same active ingredient you're going to find in Capture LFR. So there are several choices to go above and beyond whatever seed treatment you get from your seed company. But speaking of that seed treatment, I would ask, I'd ask the seed company, what are you putting on here? Because some seed companies invest more money in those seed treatments than others. And it's just something for you to think about as you're planting early. So on our farm, we should be done with our grain corn, I'm going to say today. We don't have much. We have mostly silage corn on our farm now, and we'll wait to plant the silage corn. But I know it's early, but corn does respond. I mean, quite frankly, most crops respond when you plant in the relatively early window for your particular area. So anyway, we're rolling on corn right now on our farm today. All right, let's get to the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
All right, first question comes in from Brandon down in Missouri. And he said, all right, guys, I'm sending you a soil test. Try not to beat me up too bad here. I'm raising alfalfa. It's been there for a couple years. I'm not really sure what to ask you, but based on these soil tests, what are some things that you would look at?
You said alfalfa?
Alfalfa. It's been 2 years. It's been in for 2 years.
Okay. Yep. So when we talk about alfalfa, first thing I'm thinking of is soil pH. There are some that I don't like. You got 6.4, you got a 6.3. And I know if you're listening and you go, well, wait a second. You always talk about 6.3, 6.4. That's almost the ideal pH. Well, it is almost the ideal pH for corn and soybeans and wheat and a number of other crops, but it's not for alfalfa. Here's the good news, though. This is light soil. You got a lot of 7, maybe 10. I mean, there's some that's a little bit heavier. 17 is the heaviest I see for cation exchange capacity. So it's only going to take just a little bit of lime to raise that pH. So just kind of keep that in mind as you raise alfalfa in the future.
Hey, you know one thing, Brian? You speak about the pH, and I just think about calcium. For 5 tons of dry matter of alfalfa, it's 94 pounds of calcium that it removes. So it's a lot. I mean, you think about that over a 4-year stand, you're talking about 400 pounds of calcium that comes out of there roughly. That's quite a bit.
Well, that's actually perfect in this case because his calcium levels are really high. So I shouldn't say they're relatively high. They are high, relatively speaking, to all the other nutrients that are in the soil. So I'm not saying he has a deficiency of magnesium or anything, although it's kind of on the edge. But I am saying if we can pull some calcium out of this soil, great. I'm fine with that. But anyway, the big things that I see on this soil test are most of the standard nutrients are really low. Phosphorus, you're in the teens. Potassium, you're less than 100 parts per million and less than 2% base saturation K. And on light soil, you don't want less than 2% base saturation K. You probably need to be at 6 or 8 or something like that in super light soil just so you have enough pounds of potassium to raise a good crop. Sulfur is single digits. Boron is 0.2, 0.3. Manganese, single digits. Zinc is less than 1 part per million. Copper is less than 1 part per million. So, I mean, literally you need everything. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but pH is actually not too bad. But it's all these other nutrients. So you just got to keep pushing on all these other nutrients, get them in the soil. And you might say, well, I have light soil. My soil won't hold nutrients. Oh, yes, it will when we're talking about phosphorus, copper, and zinc. Those aren't going anywhere. So sure, potassium, you might have to pay a little bit of attention to it, but it doesn't leach super fast either. Sulfur, boron, and nitrogen, obviously, whatever crop you're raising, those are the nutrients where you'd have to constantly spoon feed in that light soil.
All right. Had a comment or maybe a question here from GN, who says, you guys are talking about weed control in pastures. We do need some more herbicides, more active ingredients registered for the woody type broadleaf plants out there. There aren't a lot of different products out there, and what I've experienced is the results have varied greatly as I've used them on my farm.
I don't know. I think we have some pretty good ones. Tordon, Chaparral, Remedy Ultra, Vastlan, Spike. I mean, I can think of a bunch of them. So I feel like there are a number of them,
and they are rate dependent on some of these weeds. And you think about it, on some bigger woody plants, you may have to cut them and do like a stump treatment or maybe even a basal bark treatment if you don't cut them. But so I think if you follow the label, some of them are a lot of work. I will absolutely give you that some of those products. If you have to go cut and then treat the stumps, that's a lot of work compared to if you can catch them when they're a 12-inch little
that's the key.
Seedling just getting started, then it's pretty easy to knock them
off. It's like a lot of other things in ag. If you can catch the problem soon after it starts, it's not usually that big an issue.
Okay, I had a couple of comments come in from JAG who said, I'm over in India. We're mixing two varieties of wheat in either a 60-40 ratio or 70-30 ratio. We always seem to get more yield compared to one variety sowed out in a field. We're doing some experiments with corn last year. This gave us some good results.
Yep.
So we'll see how this year turns out.
We commonly see that in corn and soybeans as well. So, I mean, a lot of people worry about mixing stuff together and, oh, it looks a little uneven through the field. I don't know what it is, but a lot of times we actually do see yield increase.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Warning, high yields incoming. Upgrading your planter with Germinator closing wheels can increase your corn yields by 13 bushels in no-till and 7 bushels in conventional. Are your bins ready? Call Farm Shop MFG at 712-520-6051.
Tame tough weeds with a pre-plant application of Revitan, a powerful burn-down herbicide. Revitan drops the hammer on more than 50 species of tough weeds with great tank mix compatibility and low use rates. Learn more at helmcrop.com/Revitan. Always read and follow label directions.
Weeds rob you of yield potential, so rob them of the chance to grow with powerful corn herbicide solutions from Corteva Agriscience. Weeds won't know what hit them, but you will, because you can count on proven top herbicides like Resicor or SureStart 2 or the new game-changing herbicide Cairo to effectively control weeds. That way, you spend less time worrying about unwanted yield-robbing weeds and have more time to power on with your day. Learn more at PowerOverWeeds.com.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Don't get caught off guard in 2024. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on armyworms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. Our topic is corn diseases. Hopefully you don't see any of them on your farm this year, but chances are, unfortunately, you probably will. So we're going to talk about these diseases and give you a few tips on how to make sure you can manage them in your fields and hopefully completely prevent them. Got Travis Gustafson with us with Syngenta right now. Travis, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today. How are you guys?
Good, good. You know, this is a challenge that we've got to treat before we see disease. And so a lot of farmers that have planned fungicide applications, they're making those applications and 1 year they use one product, or the next year or the next field they use a different product, and they say, well, this one gained me more or less than the last one. Who knows if they had disease pressure out there, if they're treating in front and hopefully don't see any at all. How do you make a good comparison and how do you pick between these products?
Well, I think consistency is really where we need to start with here. A fungicide year in and year out is probably going to win you more bushels over the long haul than just trying one thing 1 year and forgetting about it the next year or switching it up. You're not going to have a really good track record with something if you don't do it consistently for year after year. So I think once you've done it 3, 4, 5 years and you've been planning it and you've been putting it on at the right time at the right rate, I think then you'll have a really good idea of what's working on your farm and what's maybe not working quite as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think about the same thing, like the seed treatment discussion. What's going to pay the most this year? Is it the insecticide in there? Is it the fungicide in there? Maybe it's the biologicals that are in there. All these different things are the inoculant, and who knows what it's going to be, but you see over 5 years, over 10 years, I get more bushels when I do that. That's a good way of looking at things. Talk to us about some of the differentiators. We're talking about corn diseases here. Obviously, tar spots on everyone's mind. Are there other diseases that we should be thinking about as we're trying to pick between products and pick between programs this year?
Yeah, I think tar spot steals the show as far as what people are talking about. And, you know, for good reason, it's a pretty devastating disease and it is spreading west. It's covering a larger geography. But I think it's really important not to forget about the others that we've been battling for, you know, a few decades. Gray leaf spot and northern corn leaf blight, southern rust blows in every year, depending on where you're at. And so to deal with that, you know, you're going to make that application, you're going to plan your application around tassel time for any one of those diseases, but you've got to pick the right product that's going to have the broadest spectrum in order to control all of them. So, you know, we've got fungicides like Mirvis Neo or Trivapro that will control all those diseases, and you can put it on before you see it and rest assured that you're going to be covered for a good amount of time during grain fill.
You know, using multiple modes of action makes a lot of sense. And I think especially we've seen what's happened with weed control and resistance there. And certainly there are already some diseases that are tough for one mode of action or another to fight off. Adding those SDHIs in there has really been a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. The SDHIs have helped us, you know, for example, with Mirvis Neo, it's helped us pick up control of tar spot, but also especially it's lengthened the control that we have on our diseases. So the SDHIs have really kind of changed how we talk about fungicides over the last 10 years, going from, you know, maybe a 28-day control period for any of the diseases. Now we're talking maybe 6 weeks. And it really changed how we have that conversation with fungicides. And once you get to those longer residual time frames, you're talking most of the grain fill period with one application that you're protecting that crop from diseases. So they've kind of revolutionized what we do with fungicides.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We're talking with Travis Gustafson here with Syngenta. Travis, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. And who knows, before too long, the corn will be at those growth stages that we're talking about.
That's
applying
right.
Some of these products to.
Sooner than we think.
You bet. It always comes a little quicker than a guy thinks. Got Kevin Matthews on right now. Works with the Extreme Ag Group and farms down in North Carolina. How's it going, Kevin?
I've got a pretty warm day today, almost hot.
Yeah, well, for you, that means it probably is pretty warm. Here, that might mean 70 degrees, Kevin, this time of year.
Yeah, we're in the low 80s this week. So
Excellent. Let's get those crop growing.
This evening or tomorrow.
You bet. That sounds good. We're talking about corn diseases this year, and I know North Carolina's not immune to getting some diseases in corn. Which ones are you most worried about this year or planning ahead so you don't have to worry about them?
Well, it does start early on. You know, you got to look after your host, which is the residue that's left behind from the previous corn crops. So you try to manage that the best you can. And with our no-till, you know, we kind of have to deal with it. So we will do a few experiments this year, putting some fungicide out at planting, just spraying it onto that residue, hoping to kind of eliminate that host carrying it into the plant. Don't know if that'll work or not. We're just going to try it and see. But as far as disease that we're targeting, it's fortunately at the moment we're not seeing tar spot. I know it's been detected in Georgia, I believe, but I don't know of any cases being reported in the Carolinas. I hope we don't have that. But, you know, gray leaf spot, northern leaf blight, southern rust, those are the big boys. And in this river valley, gray leaf spot can really be detrimental to us.
Yeah, it sure can. And you think about how some of these diseases move when they start on that lower part of the plant and work their way up. They can move pretty quickly when you get a rainfall event or just the wrong kind of weather.
Yes, sir. Our heavy dews, so we experience, you know, anywhere from 8 to sometimes as much as 14 hours a day of leaf wetness because, you know, the dew sets in the evenings and then we have the heavy fog in the mornings and, you know, it might be 10 o'clock before it burns off, 10 a.m. And so you can get a lot of, you know, you can get a lot of leaf wetness there and you don't have rain, so you're not thinking about it. But even in a dry time, it can really accelerate that disease environment.
You know, we talk about these foliar fungicides, and as you lay things on the leaf, they're going to protect the leaves that you lay them on. How long do they last in your experience, and how soon are you thinking, man, I better get out and put another treatment on because we're getting just the wrong weather and everything's playing out that we could have a disease problem?
Yes, for us, we typically, you know, 14 to 21 days. 21 days is on the maximum side. We are getting a lot of good performance out of the Zyway that, you know, is going in at planting, so it's getting a lot more longevity. But then we see about R3 to R4, we start seeing some disease, but we've not seen it be a yield-limiting factor yet. We have sprayed some just to make, you know, insurance policy. Obviously, when you see the disease, you're in revenge mode by that point. So the goal is to never have it, you know, and we go to the doctor to try to stay healthy and have checkups and, you know, not get sick. And that's the mindset you've got to have is you don't ever want to see the disease in your field. It's kind of like an insurance policy. You hate to pay the premiums, but you sure are glad when you need to call it in.
Insect feeding can lead to more openings on the plant for disease to get in. And I know you've got plenty of insect problems in North Carolina, too, that you have to manage. Are there any key ones there? Is it stink bugs? Is it bean or corn rootworm beetles? What do you worry about there?
Well, the years that we have a lot of wheat, and, you know, we double crop acres here, so we'll harvest the wheat, plant soybeans directly behind it. So when we have that scenario, the stink bugs are really bad to move off of the wheat fields into the corn fields because they're usually, lots of times, they're silking at that time. They'll clip the silks, and they can really be some yield robbers. So, you know, that's a big deal of where I'm at. And then, you know, if you go down in the eastern part of the state in the Blacklands, those guys fight bill bugs every year. That bill bug is a nasty little animal, and I'm glad we don't have an issue with it here in the Piedmont, but so you just kind of pick your poison, which one you want to deal with.
Yeah, lots of challenges out there to raising corn. I mean, obviously, we're raising some pretty good bushels, so there's a lot of bait out there trying to bring in some of those bugs. And, of course, the disease needs a place to thrive as well, so we want to try and keep that out of there. I've been talking with Kevin Matthews here. He farms in North Carolina with his family there. Thank you so much, Kevin. Really appreciate having you on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Farmer Amaranth. 4 counts of yield theft, resistance to groups 2, 4, 9.
You ain't got nothing on me, man.
We've been surveilling you. And now we've got Tough 5EC, a tank mix partner that'll make sure you and your gang of resistant weeds never see the daylight again.
Crack down on repeat offenders. Add Tough 5EC to your post-emergence tank mix. Learn more at toughonweeds.com. Always read and follow label directions. Tough is a registered trademark of Belsham Crop Protection.
Get uniform control in your fields with trusted, hard-working Lucento fungicide. Control the toughest diseases with a dual mode of action fungicide that consistently outperforms the competition in field trials. Lucento fungicide from FMC works overtime for lasting control to help improve crop yields. Talk about getting the job done. Visit your FMC retailer or lucento.ag.fmc.com for hard-working control in your fields. Always read and follow all label directions.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Every season, you're collecting yield data on virtually every acre of your farm. But what good is your data if you never use it? Put it to work with Verify. Verify takes yield data directly from your combine and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, ensuring your crops get what they need, right where they need it, no matter what equipment you run. Go to verify.com to find an expert to help you get started. That's VRAFY.com.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're talking about corn diseases on today's program. We're also taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us radio@agphd.com. Got Adam Byrne with us right now with FMC to talk about corn diseases a little bit. How you doing, Adam?
Good. How are you guys?
Well, we don't have any corn diseases yet, so at this point, we're doing great. We got seed that just went in the ground, and one of the things that we were doing is putting some Xyway in the furrow, and I want to talk a little bit about that. I mean, when it comes to corn diseases, we'd prefer to never see them, so to get these fungicides to work, having them out up front is a good move. Talk to us a little bit about Xyway. What do you see? You've had it now for a few years. You got different rates on the label. You got different diseases out there you've been working on. What's new and what should farmers know going into planting season?
Yeah, I think the first thing with Xyway that I think is important is, you know, we're seeing and hearing a lot more lately of some of these crown and stalk rot issues across the country. And I think having that fungicide application at planting with that kind of inside out, the plants drawing it in as the season goes and getting it in there right from the get-go, kind of gives you an advantage there with some of that crown rot protection suppression that we're seeing with Xyway. So I think that's one of the first primary advantages of having that fungicide at plant. But then, of course, you know, given that season long, we know that food triafol is translocated through the plant all the way into the reproductive stages. So we're seeing long length of control against the gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, diseases as well. And so that's a great opportunity to put something down on a pass that you're going to make no matter what when you're planting and getting that fungicide in there.
Now, some guys are not set up to do in furrow or 2x2. I can't believe it, Adam, but some don't have the Thrive 3D system on their planter yet. Man, we love that thing, making liquid into a foam, getting great coverage in the furrow. So they're going to go with foliar apps, which is fine too. Let's talk about the foliar applications and how do you time these things out to get it out in front of disease so it can do the most good?
Yeah, so just kind of wrapping up that Xyway thing real quick, you know, we talk about in-furrow. The in-furrow obviously has to be that 3D system. Otherwise, we want it off the seed if it's the LFR formulation. Other things growers can look at that we're starting to play with is, you know, side dress and wide drop. So there's other opportunities to get it on. But otherwise, if we're going with like a foliar fungicide, you know, now it gets tricky in terms of timing and product selection. Because you have to really look at what's the history of disease pressure in your area. Tar spot changes the picture a little bit compared to what we're used to with, say, gray leaf and northern corn leaf blight, where that VTR1 timing was a pretty standard traditional application approach. Now with tar spot, we're seeing people flex that a little bit later to that, you know, brown silk kind of early R3 sometimes even for that late onset tar spot. So, boy, it's a lot trickier in terms of how to tackle those pathogens, and that you can't ignore the earlier ones like gray leaf or in the southern territories, southern rust or those things in the fear of tar spot either.
All right, you mentioned the Flutriafol, but you've got a combination product that also includes that for post-emerge use, Lucento. Is that what you like to see in those reproductive phases?
Yeah, in those non-Xyway acres, I think this new product, Adastrio fungicide that we have, is a three-way with fluindapyr, the new novel SDHI that we have, which is combined with Flutriafol, which is the same active that's in Xyway. And then it also has an azoxystrobin, so a strobilurin there with, you know, obviously excellent mobility and plant health benefits too. I think that product is shown very strong efficacy against the leaf spot diseases and tar spot and the rust. So it gives you kind of the opportunity to have, you know, one tool in the shed that kind of covers the broad spectrum of diseases out there, whereas a lot of the other products, you know, have a niche. They're better on this side or better on that side. So, you know, I think Adastrio is a really strong fit for growers to be looking at for control of all those various leaf spot or, you know, rusts that could move in during the season. I would target that VTR1 if you're unsure, because that's a very traditional, consistent timing to apply these things. And then if tar spot is your main concern, then you might want to flex it a little.
Yeah, there are a lot of different choices, a lot of different ways to do this, which is a good thing because many farmers are set up with different assets. Some have high clearance sprayers and love to do those late foliar apps. Others do not, and doing something with the planter or earlier in the season makes a lot more sense for them. Talking with Adam Byrne here with FMC. Adam, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
You bet. All right, let's head next. We've got Alice Harris on with us right now with BASF. How you doing, Alice?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We are doing well. We're doing well. Corn planting has started here, and with that comes the thought of, all right, how am I going to manage disease through this year? And, you know, one thing that I found, Alice, with weed control, I would say just about every farmer that I talk to is, okay, I have mare's tail, or I have pigweed, or I have ragweed, or whatever the weed is. But when it comes to disease control, a lot of times it's, well, I need something for disease. I really don't know what I'm going to have, and honestly, I don't know how to tell the difference between some of these. Does that make it harder to make a recommendation, or how do you take kind of partial information like that? I just need something to prevent corn disease.
No, that's a great question. I think a lot of guys definitely deal with disease, but like you already said, sometimes it's hard to identify, and you want something that's going to be very broad spectrum. And knowing that most of our Midwest states, we do carry those pathogens. And so we know that the diseases are present. It's just a matter of, are they going to come in? Are they going to manifest? Are they going to be big yield robbers this year? And so picking a fungicide that's going to give you flexibility and application timing, but then also have some residual and some longevity to it that's going to be broad spectrum against a lot of diseases, it's probably going to be the most optimal. And for us, that would be a product like Veltima.
You know, a lot of farmers will say, well, I'm going to try to pick the best hybrid with tolerance to the diseases I have, but none of them are perfect. We don't have perfectly resistant hybrids to many of these tough corn diseases out there. So having a multi-mode of action product that has a broad spectrum like that is important. What have you seen now? Veltima's been out for a little bit, and you've certainly seen growers going at different timings. What is kind of the larger data shown you from that? Is there a certain time that's working better, and then is one time enough, or do you see the need for a second or third application?
I think the application timing really depends on your farm and what your capabilities are in applications and what you're trying to achieve on that acre. And so when it comes to something like Veltima, we do have that flexibility of the window. So, you know, we do typically still see that VTR1 as a really good application timing for not only tar spot, but most of our other corn foliar diseases. And so we get a really good application there. With Veltima, we can go out earlier with the aerial applicator. So we have about a 2-week wider window up front to go out. We also have the ability to go out with a ground rig if that's how you're going to be able to get across your acre. But as far as having multiple applications and timing, I really do think it's more of an on-farm decision. Sometimes we might need 2 applications. You know, if you're under heavy irrigation, things like that, you kind of create that environment for tar spot. Well, those guys might need to lean more to a 2-pass, whereas something like we deal with over here in Ohio, we don't have a lot of irrigation. Tar spot comes in later. We still want to get ahead of it. So, you know, still keeping around that R1 timing is probably going to be more advantageous. But I really do think it depends on the area you're in and what you're really trying to achieve on your farm.
Yeah, there are definitely some variables at play here for farmers. And then here's the other thing, Alice. I'm going to spray some fungicide on soybeans. I'm going to spray some on corn. Boy, it'd be nice if I just had one product to work with. Is that a smart move, or is that something where you say, you know, we should kind of mix modes of action up like we do with weed control?
So I think mixing modes of action is always going to be beneficial in the long-term game, because we know we only got so many AIs, right? So we want to keep them around as long as possible. So I definitely think that, you know, kind of focusing on some of these products that are designed for corn or designed for soybeans. For example, Veltima, you know, that is our go-to corn product for BASF. Revitech, we really like to see that on soybeans. And so every opportunity we have to split those two out, I think is going to be really great. But at the same time, both of those products actually can go on either crop. And so if, you know, you have the opportunity to use both, I think take that opportunity, try it out. You might see some differences. But then also at the same time, you know, if it's easier to run the one, that's also an opportunity as well.
Yeah, lots of different options out there. We're talking corn diseases here with Alice Harris with BASF. Alice, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on today.
Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with 3 core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/face.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit MyBayerPlus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's VRAFY.com.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years.
From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health through awareness, guidance, and action. Together, we can uproot the stigma.
Thanks for listening to Ag PhD Radio today. I've been talking about corn diseases. I would just give you one other tip. We've got a free resource out that is fantastic. It's an app you can download, the Ag PhD Corn Diseases app. We put that together with the help of the American Phytopathological Society. So all the, but many land grant university plant pathologists. It's just fantastic with pictures of the different diseases and just some more information and background about them. I use it all the time when I'm out in fields to help me look at the different diseases. I mean, some of them look pretty similar. Sometimes there's multiple diseases on leaves. That's not uncommon at all. And it really helps diagnose what's going on out there. And of course, you can always take samples and send into your state's land grant university and have their plant pathology department determine exactly what disease is on there too. So there are resources out there. If you need help, you can always send us a picture. You can always send your questions in radio@agphd.com. All right, step back into the Ag PhD mailbag and get a question here from Josh. And this one's kind of fun. I like these kinds of emails. I've got a choice to make between three products here. And of course, I could choose none of them as well, but I'm figuring out what I want to do. And it's three different fertility products. I've got pricing. I've got the nutrient content in here. And I'm just kind of curious because some of them have really small amounts of micros, if that is enough to make a difference as
well. Wait, we're talking foliar fertilizer?
That's a great question.
Or are we talking in-furrow? Hey, let me tell you a story quick while you're coming up with the answer on that. So I was meeting with the person who's considered the top guy in the entire world for plant growth hormones. This was probably 12, 13 years ago. And anyway, he is from Taiwan, and so his accent is pretty thick, so I really had to pay attention and had to have him repeat a couple of things from time to time. But anyway, super awesome, interesting conversation. Let me summarize real quick by this with foliar fertilizer. He goes, Brian, you farmers just have this idea that you just throw more fertilizer out there and you're going to have more yield. And I go, well, yeah. That's exactly what I do. And he goes, here's the problem with that. If you overload the plant and you don't have the hormones, the enzymes, everything else going right in the plant, then you can do more harm than good sometimes. And even if you don't do harm, you don't gain the yield you're after. So he said, that's what gives me a job. And I'm paraphrasing here, but basically, he's worked with a lot of different foliar fertilizer companies, even companies making fungicides, everything to make stuff safer, number one, so they don't have as much burn on the plant. But two, it's so all the internal workings go, and then you turn that fertilizer ultimately into yield. Okay, so it's obviously a much deeper conversation than that, but I'm just simplifying here in a nutshell. That's what he said. So he goes, yeah, for example, have you tried this foliar fertilizer? And I go, yeah, that one seems to be better than the other. And he goes, yeah, well, here's the difference. It's because now we put some plant growth hormones in there, and now we can make stuff actually work in the plant. We make the plant do what we want it to do, accept the fertilizer, and we go from there. So sometimes it's not all about your fertilizer rate. It's about the other things that maybe are just simply listed as inert ingredients. It's about the timing. It's about how willing is that plant at that point to take fertilizer. So, for example, if it's 95 degrees and it has been for the last week and it's super dry, well, is the plant, does it have a thick wax on the leaf? Does it, or is it closed down? Is it going to be responsive? So there's a lot that goes into this. All right, so Darren, what's your answer here?
Foliar.
Foliar, yep. So what I'm trying to say is you can ask us about these three products. Problem is we don't know what the inert ingredients are. I would just say this. Our best advice, because you're not going to find out, and you, I'm lucky because I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people like this in our industry. I know a lot of people like this in our industry. And unfortunately, and even for me, it's a real challenge to get, let's say, straight answers out of people all the time and find out exactly what's in there, how's stuff going to work, everything else. But I would just say you're not going to have access to those kind of people and that kind of information. And even for me, when I do, I still make mistakes on it. So I'm just trying to say your best bet is to try several things out. When you say, all right, should I pick product A, B, or C? Which one's going to give me the biggest bang for the buck, foliar? I don't know. I would say, number one, try all three. Number two, do some plant tissue analysis and some soil testing and try to see, all right, what nutrients do I think I'm going to be short on or my plants are going to be short on, and then push more of that kind of stuff. So otherwise, it gets real, real tricky. One of the things we found, even on our own farm, we picked this up from some high-yield guys years ago, fulvic acid. We throw fulvic acid in, and, hey, we have more response. Well, guess what? Some foliar fertilizers, they aren't going to tell you, but they have fulvic acid in there. Some of them aren't going to tell you, but they have plant growth hormones in there. So there are all these things that are hidden. I wish they weren't, but they are.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Jim with us right now in South Dakota with some weed control challenges, perhaps. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, good, guys. How are you?
Oh, good. But I'm hoping you're going to ask us about weed control here because, man, do I love killing weeds.
I'm going to ask you about that.
Perfect.
Darren. I got some oats I planted actually a month ago, I think the 13th, and this weekend they came up and they're going like the Dickens.
Awesome.
But I've got some of this mustard thistle, I think it is, the little pods that come up, they get big, you know?
Well,
mustard thistle maybe?
Well, mustard and thistle would be two different things, so I'm not exactly sure what you're talking
That's
about.
That's fine. You got broadleaf weeds.
Sure.
You got broadleaf weeds.
Okay, so let me first say this, Jim. If I could go back in time to a month ago when you seeded that, I would tell you use Callisto, super cheap, and Sharpen. Not quite so cheap, but if you do that combination of Callisto and Sharpen, that's what we do on our oats all the time pre-emerge. If you see any broadleaves come post-emerge, I'm going to be a little bit surprised. So you don't spend that much. It's easier on the wheat then, or on the oats then, and then you have this great control. So the spot that you're at right now, what can you do? You have a number of choices out there. So I just say if it's thistle, if it was truly a thistle, then we want Stinger out there. That's the best thing on thistle. If it is a mustard, well, then Buctrel a lot of times is real good. We also have other products too. There's Harmony Extra that could be used. There's Wide Match that could be used. That's Stinger plus Starane. That's not going to be the best on your mustard, but, I mean, that's an option. And, of course, there's also the old MCP Amine, MCP Ester, or Curtail M, which is Stinger plus MCP Ester. So those are the predominant products that we're talking about for broadleaf weeds in oats. So my
size, Brian?
Well,
that the oats should be before spray?
Okay, it all depends on the product. So for example, with Harmony Extra, I'll just tell you exactly what that says. It's after the three-leaf stage and before jointing. So you want to let it get up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these other products, not quite as fussy. But the point is, you probably don't want to spray day one that your oats finally came out of the ground, especially because look at the weather for the next 4 days where you're at. Yeah. Cold, wet, not super conducive for the plant recovering quickly. So I get it that, well, of course, you can't spray today anyway. It's too windy. But I'm just saying you got to kind of pay attention a little bit for crop recovery. But once we get past this week, forecast looks pretty good. Temps in the 70s for highs, 50s for lows, and that should be good weather for spraying.
Okay, I think my best thing, probably take it to my Blaine and see what he says it is and then get a plan, huh?
I was just going to say that. Take the weed in to someone who can hopefully identify that for you, and then you can more fine-tune this whole process. Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Really appreciate it.
Wait, I got one more quick question. I was reading your soybean, your burn down and stuff in your maize.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Jim. I'm sorry. We're hitting a commercial break right now. Just hang on. We'll get to your question right after this.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more? Precisely. Find an agro-liquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications. All without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
Here at Ag PhD, we're always looking for ways to support the next generation in the ag industry. That's why at our free Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships event on Saturday, June 29th, we're giving away more than 100 college scholarships. Join us as we head into the field for hands-on sessions covering everything from how to pull soil and tissue samples, ways to improve crop health, the importance of microbiology in farming, and much more. Plus, in our comprehensive guide to crop scouting, we'll explore both above and below ground in a variety of crops as we diagnose problems with insects, weeds, diseases, and anything else we may find. As we're giving away tens of thousands of dollars in scholarships to eligible attendees, this day is geared more towards students and young farmers, but anyone with a desire to learn more about agronomy is more than welcome. So whether you're a college student or just want good agronomy information, this is one event you won't want to miss. Come to the Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships Day, Saturday, June 29th on the Hefty Farm near Baltic, South Dakota. Learn more and register at agphd.com.
Save plenty of green on select John Deere compact utility tractors during the Go Green Save Green event at C&B. Payments start as low as $253 per month. Visit DeereEquipment.com. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior Strip Tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at SoilWarrior.com.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car. Steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out CaseIH.com.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Brian Hefty, along with my brother Darren. We're live in the Morton studio. Today on the show, we've been talking a little about corn diseases, but right now we are in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag. And just before our break, we were talking with Jim from South Dakota. And Jim, I apologize about that. Had to cut you off there. Just had to go to a quick commercial break. What was your second question? What else can we help you out with?
Well, I was diligently reading my Hefty Seed Company April, May magazine that I get. Thank you for that. And I was reading your burn downs, and I didn't realize that in front of conventional beans, you can add Liberty at 43 ounces plus yes. AMS at 3 pounds, and that you could do that with conventional beans. Does that work out? Have you done that quite a bit? Because some of these places give a bonus on conventional beans now. You know?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we raised a bunch of conventionals last year on our farm, for example. So I would say that Liberty has not been a popular burndown herbicide for the last few years just because the price has been sky high. It's getting cheaper every day, it seems like. It's way cheaper than it was a year ago, and I would not be surprised at all if next year it's down another 10 or 20%. We'll see what happens. But my point here is, yeah, it hasn't been used, but it can and it certainly should be used when you stop and look at, well, how good is this on weeds? It's great. We just want to have the weather be relatively warm, and Liberty will work amazing on most weeds. In fact, when I go to BSF and I talk to them, or I talk to UPL that makes Interline, or any of these companies that have a glufosinate product, I just tell them, guys, you are missing the boat. I think you should be selling 3 to 5 times as much glufosinate as you are, because it should be used in a burn down. It's way safer to a human being than Gramoxone, and it's just as good as Gramoxone, not as fast, but it's really good. And it should be used, in my opinion, post-emerge then in all these Liberty-tolerant crops, and we have way more of those today than we did even 3 years ago. And then burn down after the season. Why are we not using that? And, you know, when you talk about burn down in front of conventionals, the nice thing with the Liberty, no residual. So if you go out there with 2,4-D, and a lot of guys do that, I'm scared to death. I've seen it hurt yield way too many times in soybeans. I do not ever, ever want to see 2,4-D as a burn down unless it's in front of 2,4-D tolerant crops. So anyway, I'm just saying, yes, this Liberty, amazing product. Use it at 43 ounces. Throw some ammonium sulfate in with it. It's really, really good.
Hang on. Okay, and then you also on that page 21, you had this, you touched a little bit, the Gramoxone is dangerous to people. What's the,
okay,
basically use Liberty instead of Roundup is what you're saying on these other.
Yeah, you can substitute. Yeah, so a lot of people don't want to use Roundup because they have Roundup resistant weeds. We do too. They don't want to use Gramoxone because they know that the human safety is not there. The Gramoxone label is way more restrictive than it was just 3-4 years ago, and that's the reason why. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not like it's the most dangerous product on the planet. It's no more dangerous than the gasoline you pump in your car every day. But still, yeah, when we compare Gramoxone to literally everything else we use for pesticide on the farm, it's 10 times more dangerous. Actually, probably 100 times. So, I mean, in part because so many of the things we're using on the farm are so safe. It's great compared to what we used to have a generation, especially 2 generations ago. So, yeah, I don't like to use Gramoxone. We've had to at certain points in the past, especially when Roundup started failing. It's like, all right, well, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. I guess we got to use some Gramoxone. Well, now we've got Liberty now that that's inexpensive.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thanks for the magazine, too, guys.
You bet. Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. Good luck out there.
All right, I had a question come in from Steve, and he said, guys, I'm sending my soil test from last fall. Very poor soil health, but we're just trying to make the best pastures here. We got a silty loam soil, low pH, low phos, low potash. Just wondering, can we use 1034-0 without detriment, and how much could we use? Our plan is to add lime later this summer, maybe early fall. And thinking of using 1034 and UAN32 for nitrogen at the moment. We can stream it on or we can broadcast as we have both nozzle tips and the options for dry products as well.
Okay, so let's put it this way. If you want to put liquid fertilizer out there in a broadcast, we're usually going to tell you you have to put at least that many gallons of water and preferably double. So for example, let's say you wanted to throw 20 gallons of fertilizer out there. We'd tell you you need to throw 20 gallons and preferably 40 gallons of water per acre to safen it. So that's kind of our standard thing. So you can experiment with that a little bit and just see how much you can push that. Just try some things out on your farm. As far as the stream bar thing goes, yeah, we talk about that quite often in wheat, and it works fairly well. So that definitely would be an option. Now, I'd just say this, when you've got phosphorus levels that are below 5 parts per million, you have potassium levels as low as 50 parts per million and 1.8% base saturation K, and soil pH at 5.2, 5.3, 5.7. I mean, it's going to be a challenge to raise great grass, but yeah, you're right. I mean, you should get some return from, quite frankly, almost any fertilizer you put out there. So it all depends on how far you want to take this thing but I just know on our own farm, I'm thinking about our pasture kind of like a crop. So if I was still raising livestock, we don't anymore on our farm, we rent our pastures out. But if I was still raising livestock, I'm also thinking an awful lot about what kind of feed am I providing for those animals? Because I think we all know if our feed has virtually no nutrition in it, then we have to supplement with a bunch of things or we have some pretty unhealthy animals. And moving forward, I'm not just thinking about NP and K, and you may not, you may be thinking about other things as well. You just asked this particular question. But please don't forget about sulfur, zinc, manganese, copper, and boron, because when I look at your soil tests, they all look low. Especially, the manganese may or may not be, but it probably is because you got a low pH and you still have single-digit manganese readings on a DTPA test. So, yeah, I mean, that's five nutrients there, not named N, P, or K, and I'm concerned about all of them. So, yeah, moving forward, I just, you know, keep hitting it with fertility. Let's keep improving this thing, and over time, hopefully it gets a lot better.
All right, I'll take the next question here. This one came in from JP down in Brazil. He said, guys, I've got some not-so-good quality dolomitic lime here that I'm curious about. Neil Kinsey was on talking about 100-mesh screens. We don't have that. In fact, the smallest screen they use here is a 50 mesh, and only 73% go through it. So there's some big particles out there. How much of this lime do you think is going to work in the soil percentage?
So Well, we don't know, first of all, how much does pass through a 100 mesh screen. But when 73% passes through a 50 mesh screen, that's not a complete disaster. So you can look online and you'll find a wide variety of statements out there. So one that we talk about in our at our Ag PhD Soils clinics, it's a person named Havlin from back in 2005 ran some tests and found basically if it's 100 mesh compared to the 50 mesh screen, then you can get an extra about a half a point of pH increase, and it's going to happen roughly in that particular experiment almost a year earlier. If you go to North Carolina, for example, they've got some information right on their site where they say, actually, over time, we think that the pH will get to about the same level. It's just that 50 mesh compared to 100 mesh is going to happen so much slower. The reactivity time when it's 100 mesh, when stuff goes through 100 mesh screen, in other words, the very, very fine particles, they react almost immediately. Whereas 50 mesh, like for them, they're talking 12 to 18 months. So I guess it's not necessarily a guarantee that you aren't going to be able to increase that pH. It's just going to take a lot longer if it's bigger particles. So let's think about this moving forward. If this is your only source that's anywhere close and, you know, halfway is decent priced, then you have to pay closer attention to your soil pH. You can't get behind. You can't let it fall down into the fours or anything like that and expect, well, I'll just put some lime on and my very next crop will be great. No, it's not going to happen. You got to be thinking a year, maybe even 2 years in advance. It's almost like for us on our farm, when we think about, hey, we want to raise alfalfa in a particular field, we're literally planning out 3 years in advance because we're in a very dry area with very heavy soil and our ground's frozen half the year. So anyway, it's not all bad news for you. I think it'll probably be okay, but you got to get ahead of it and stay ahead.
All right, thanks for the question. Really appreciate that. And good luck to you on getting your product out there and making that difference in your soil. Thanks for listening to today's program. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. Now stay tuned for Rob and Emily Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.